Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Talk to me.
We're jumping in on Petey Deaver's show?
Yeah.
I didn't know we could do that.
I think we figured it out.
How did you do it? Did you pirate the signal?
1 second. We got something from Wade?
Oh, what's...
Okay. I think I figured it out.
All right, this is Comics Talk Comedy, the pirated edition.
We got it. I think I figured it out.
Piggybacking off the Petey Deaver's.
All right, we're going to figure out if I fixed it here. Because I think what was happening is I was running out of Studio B for some reason. So that's why...
Yeah, do you think we're actually broadcasting live to the world?
Oh, we're on.
Can you tell?
Yeah, we're definitely
listening?
On.
Okay.
We're definitely on. I can see the reading.
So we apologize to anyone that tuned into the PD Deavers show at the wrong time on the wrong station.
Yeah, PD's doing some big things.
I don't know what that show's about, but it sounded pretty awesome. Miles was pretty into it.
It's Puff Daddy's new name.
PD?
PD
Deavers. PD. Deaves.
So this is a weird start.
Wow, that's weird. I wonder, we're like 7 minutes in. We already missed that much of the show?
No, we're only 3 minutes in.
Okay, so everything's wrong. And the clock says it's 10 a.m. and it's like 1. And
yeah.
We're doing good. Hey, WS Radio, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
Yeah, come buy a show from them. You will be pleased.
Enjoy a tasty sandwich from Witch Witch while you're at it, folks.
Yes. So anyway, Jesse, we missed a week.
We did.
How's comedy been going for you?
Comedy's been pretty wild, ups and downs, you know, podcasts. Problems, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
but you know things are happening.
Did you perform? Oh, you did.
I did a wacky show last night at downtown Johnny Brown's.
Right.
It started at 8 p.m. and ended. It's just ending now.
It's still going.
It's barely ending now.
Yeah.
I think I texted you a photo of the set of the comics, the list where they would put your name under the time slot you were on.
I couldn't really read that.
Okay, well, the first comic was like 8:30, P-Man, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
Goes down the list. I look on the thing. My name is under the heading Midnight.
Midnight.
And I was like, this can't be fucking right. Are you kidding me right now?
So it was a four-hour show.
I mean, it lasted about 3:15.
But you said he was mad that you went short, right?
Well, I did like 15 to 20 at the end, headlining, right? And okay, so the host... Who I said, give it up for Cuddy from Dead Presidents. I don't know if you guys would get that reference, but the black audience did.
Right.
He looked like a pimp. He was dressed like a pimp, and he was very cool. And his name was Extreme Raheem. And he did about 7,000 minutes in between everyone. And so he started the show, and then he like did more time after I was done. He did like another 10, 15 minutes or something, and then he got off, and he was like, yeah, you cut your time short. And I'm like, nothing about this show was cut short.
Yeah.
He thought it was funny that I was making fun of the show. He's like, I thought it was funny how you're getting us on, you know, Give It Up, but what a great show. We had a rapper and an R&B singer and a magician and three mimes. Because they did have a rapper at one point do like three songs, and they had a singer do like three songs.
So is it
in the middle of the show?
Is it supposed to be a variety show?
I thought it was just a comedy show.
But right.
It was a variety show.
How was the hilarious comic?
She was great. All the comics were good. The crowd was really good. It was a very good turnout. And
Would you do it again?
They gave us food and drinks. And I love food and drinks.
Right. Yeah. So you went off the shake diet?
Yeah.
How does your body feel today after eating real food?
It feels like I've got downtown Johnny Brown's going on. You know what I'm saying?
No, not really.
Well, it was a good time. But, you know, some shows are wild like that. There was people sitting outside on the patio, so I was talking to half the people through the window that was behind me.
Wiling out.
And I was wiling out.
That's good.
I did every black joke that I knew.
That you have.
Mm-hmm.
That you stole.
That I stole from Jimmy O. Yang or whatever.
Yeah.
I wrote a bunch on stage, which was pretty fun.
That's important. You know, you got something out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but
I did got something.
I didn't perform. I worked at the store. I've been sick, so I took a little week off.
Oh, really? What did you have? Did you have the cold? Did you have the
Ebola? I just don't think I was sleeping very well because it's been real hot.
Yeah.
So it just caught up
to me. You're not good with the heat.
No, I don't like the heat.
You don't like the heat.
But, so yeah, I was a little sick, but I'm almost over it.
You did Winston's last night.
I did Winston's. I worked at the store on Thursday. Mal Hall did an hour.
How was that? Because I was going to go, and then I just decided, fuck it. So I was there Wednesday, and
Mal Hall did an hour.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Was the crowd good? Did he have a lot of people there?
It was like 100.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. And,
Zoltz,
you know,
how much did Zoltz do?
Zoltz did 15.
Okay.
So by the time I would have went up, it would have been like 9:45, and I was like, I don't really.
That's nothing. That's like when our show started.
Yeah, that's when you guys started. But it's just tough to follow anyone doing an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like two people after him. It was like Benji and then Goulden. And
Ben Garcia-Reyes?
No, Benji Aflalo.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then Goulden, so I was like, I can't follow this L.A. heat.
No, I know.
So I was like,
that is.
I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went home.
Okay.
But
it's a great show.
Yeah, last night I did Winston's, and it was slow, as expected.
Miles didn't know that was expected. He's expected?
I expected it could be like that coming in. You know, it still took me a little back, because I've been there so many times, and there has been people sitting in the chairs.
Yeah. The previous Friday was really busy.
Yeah.
So you never know.
It was me and Gordon. That was who drove everyone away with the headliners.
Were you guys the headliners and the audience?
Practically. I think both of us brought a few people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Chris Thayer, he brought a couple of people who was the feature.
Okay.
So I did my set. I did like, I actually ended up doing like 10 minutes. It was
fun.
I got some laughs.
Okay.
You know, they weren't loving everything, but it's a typical show.
Yeah, so. That's true.
But it's always good to, you know, I took a week off, so it's good to
get. Yeah, you took a full week off from comedy?
Yeah, it's the first time in a while.
You'd never do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyways, I guess we should go ahead and bring in our guest.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Miles, everybody.
Miles Kay.
Guys, thanks so much for having me.
Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you, too. I'm looking at my phone right now, and it's not to be rude. It's had a work emergency come up.
Oh, my gosh.
As I'm sitting here, and
was it P.D. Deavers calling you on the
phone? Yeah, P.D. Deavers, and he's like, why did my show get pulled off the air? And I was like, listen, I'm sorry, P.D., Mr. Deavers. No, it's just
is everything all right?
Yeah.
What is your day job? What is your work?
There's a company called New Wave Entertainment, and they put out a lot of comedy
specials.
That's
wrestling, right?
No.
Porn?
It's just comedy for the most part, and porn, but it's pretty funny porn.
Nice.
But they put out a lot of comedy specials, and then they also have like a finishing department and an advertising department. And the advertising department does like movie and television advertising.
Uh-huh.
I work there. And
cool.
Yeah, it's like it's the best day job I've ever had.
Okay.
But there's a lot of like weekend emergencies, like this post went up and there's not this random thing tagged in it, which by the way, people shouldn't be clicking on anyway. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's really.
So are you like a web master or what is your
copywriter?
Copywriter. Okay.
Yep.
So you help to write the ads for these things?
Dude, I'm the one who like baits the hook.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you see the new Gerard Carmichael ad for? They couldn't take out a TV ad, so they got on like a public, you know, access.
Was that real?
Television. Yeah, it was like a political, you know, where anyone can come up and say their piece about an issue in the government, and he goes up and starts saying October 4th.
Then
Jamar Neighbors goes up last and it's like, he's fucking funny. You got to see this show. I was like, that is hilarious. I've never
awesome.
Seen that done before.
I haven't even heard of this, but that sounds great.
Yeah, it's actually, he's got an hour special, like Love at the Store. It's directed by Spike Lee.
I've heard about that, and I've been seeing the billboards around Hollywood.
Okay.
There's billboards in Hollywood for this?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's HBO, so, and I think they want to get, I assume HBO wants to get in as close to the ground floor as possible with.
Oh, that music means we're going to break.
Yeah.
So that clock is actually right.
I think.
We're either going to break or we're going back to the P.D. Deavers show, ladies and gentlemen.
Either way, I'm excited.
He's game for either one. You could stay the whole hour?
Are you going to take care of your work emergency?
I'm going to try to fix this on my phone while we're, then it'll be resolved hopefully within minutes.
All right, let's hope that you get
we'll be back. WS3Day.com, worldwide, internet, talk, bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Look at that.
Hey,
problem solved.
That worked.
Figured it out.
I was kind of hoping to hear the P.D. Deavers intro again.
Yeah.
P.D. Deavers.
That really what it was.
Put the same talk to me again. I was hoping. That's what I was hoping for.
I'm dying.
Yeah, you are sick. Look at you.
Nah, just a cough. I got a lot of phlegm in the body,
jeez,
I think.
Quit smoking.
I know. That's what it feels like. Yeah. Some mornings I'll wake up and I'll just cough for like 10 minutes straight. Like,
you're
can't
flaming.
Stop. Yeah. It's feel. I remember when I used to stay with my grandmother. She was a big smoker, and that's what they would. Every morning she would just wake up and cough for about a half hour.
Really? And then she'd smoke.
Yeah, of course. But now she has dementia, so she can't smoke.
So she forgot to smoke.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
That's one way to cut cold turkey.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping with booze.
I need that for food.
I'll just forget about life or where I am. Yeah, it'll be fun. So I don't know if we could talk to Miles.
Well, Miles is having a work emergency, but I think he's handling it. He's a new way. He's multitasking.
That's what they do up there in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So you live in, how do you like living in Hollywood, Miles? You were originally from San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego. I was living in the Bay for 8 years previous.
Okay.
And I liked that a lot.
In the actual Bay, or which city were you in?
Berkeley.
Oh, nice.
Just on the Berkeley-Oakland border. Yeah, that was great. As for L.A., mixed feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more work and opportunity for creative people. I think the city's full of sociopaths and weirdos who want to be close to fame and are faking an interest in anything creative.
Okay.
The functioning of L.A. city is bad. I mean, it's like a poorly administered city.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's got its upsides and its downsides. I've never been, it's never been easier for me to find a job as someone who's, in a creative profession. But I also, compared to, the Bay Area, where it's, well-run public transit and, a lot of, it's easy to get health benefits even if you're terribly impoverished and, stuff like that.
Okay.
L.A. sucks.
So they run the important stuff well, but in L.A. they only do the entertainment side of it well?
It's just it's just easier to find a job if you're a writer or a performer or whatever,
I didn't realize that would be easier.
You think they do that on purpose to whittle out the people that aren't serious about being there?
No, I think it's just a corrupt city. I think it's just got generations of Chinatown politics running through it.
So what's your, how do you say your last name first?
Stengem. That's my actual last name.
Stengem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not so hard to say, but it looks difficult to say. That's why you go by Miles K?
Yeah.
Did you try going by Miles Stengem?
Why would you? honestly, it's such a...
What's the K stand for?
Kibbe.
Kibbe. Did you try going by Miles Kibbe?
No. I had no interest in that. That sounds bad to me, or not good.
Miles K sounds like a rapper name almost to me.
I was a freestyle rapper. That was my first thing I did. That was my first serious, creative pursuit.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, I wasn't trying to make a career out of it, but it was just what I liked doing all the time, yeah.
Okay, so that's where the Miles K came from then? Was it sort of
this
will be a rap name?
I think it was just I came out of having rap names like that, like Mickey Vax, you know what I mean? Mathematics.
Right.
And then Miles K felt like, yeah, that sounds good. It sounds kind of badass, right? Not realizing in comedy what you probably want is just something friendly or approachable. I don't know what the key to a good comedy name is.
I don't know either.
So you started comedy in San Diego?
I did it in L.A. for a few months before I ran out of money and then came back to live with my parents. And then San Diego is where I think I was here for 6 months doing it in earnest. And then I moved back up to the Bay Area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the first show you did in Hollywood?
I don't know. It was probably some open mic I did an open mic once in college. That was the first show I ever did.
But it was a rap open mic, right?
No, it was a comedy open mic. But it was probably the Comedy Store or something above the Isle West. They had a little black box up there where comics would get together, an AA meeting or something, and just share their jokes with one another.
So you moved to Hollywood. You had never. You only did comedy one time.
I'd done it a handful, fewer times than I could count on my fingers, I think, up in the Bay Area. And then I wanted to write for television, so I moved to L.A. And I became an assistant to this writer who wrote for the Boondocks and stuff and some other Adult Swim things. And then I my car got stripped. Someone ripped a bunch of parts out of it. And I just didn't have enough money, And so I left with my tail between my legs and went back to San Diego. And then I was so traumatized by that, I didn't want to live in L.A. again for a while. So I moved back to the Bay Area, which is where I went to college.
Huh. So why did you decide to leave the Bay Area?
Well, I thought about this recently. There's this guy named Kevin Kamiya. I don't know if you guys have seen him, but he's great. He's like, he's the best comic I know personally. And he was up in the Bay for a long time, and neither of you guys have ever heard of him. You know what I mean? He's in L.A. now.
Kevin Kamiya?
Kamiya. Yeah, and he's, like, doing okay there and everything, but it just felt like, I'm like, you can stick around the Bay and become, like, the best comic there is, and you still got to have a full-time job.
Yeah.
Or you got to go on the road or something, and I didn't see that. Being like, I was like, well, I might as well go down to L.A. and see what I can make happen there. Because there were other things I wanted to do besides stand-up. I was still wanting to write for television. And that's the main one, really.
Yeah.
And just something different.
How would you compare the scene in San Diego to San Francisco?
San Diego's scene's changed so much because there's three comedy clubs here now. Whereas when I was hanging out down here, there was the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back, I remember one summer or something, and the Madhouse was around here, where we are in Sereno Valley. But that was still, like, such a... It seems like they've got it more together now than they did then.
Hold on, New Wave's calling him.
No, it's...
Or those PD Deavers.
It's my girlfriend. It's my girlfriend, PD Deavers.
Your girlfriend, PD Deavers?
You just got very many voice.
Or is that just your love name for her? PD Deavers.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
He's going to love the
comparing bumper. The scenes between San Francisco and San Diego.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, you know, San Francisco has got that reputation as, like, a farm league for L.A., and San Diego, I feel like, has something kind of similar. But when I started in the Bay, when I went back up there, there was this system in place, which is, like, you hang out at the Punchline for a few years, and then you get scattered by Comedy Central, and you do, like, Live at Gotham, and then you're off, right? Like, that was all these guys, like Moshe Kasher and Brent Weinbach, like, took off and Shang Wang doing that system. And then it fell apart, like, right after I arrived. But they didn't tell anyone. They didn't tell anyone, hey, they're not coming anymore. There's going to be no more auditions for years, right? Well, I mean, it's just the comedy club kept making people into hosts and kept doing their thing. It's just that Hollywood stopped going to San Francisco to look. I think they came one year, they didn't see anyone, and they're like, all right, I guess we got everything we're going to get out of San Francisco.
Because is the festival still up there?
Sketchfest?
Well, I know the San Francisco Comedy Festival used to be like a big thing, but is that still going on?
I don't think that's been going on for a while. There was the comedy competition.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, all these people like Stanhope and Robin Williams and all these other... Like, if you look through who's, like, been in that competition and placed in the top five, there's, like, 20 years where it's a total who's who of comedy.
Hmm.
And then there's people who never placed but did it, like Louis C.K. and David Cross. That thing is still kind of going on, although interesting, there's only, like, one show that's ever in San Francisco. The rest of it is all road gigs in Northern California. But I think it's sort of similar to San Diego. It's just maybe a slightly bigger scene. Because you've got the East Bay, San Francisco proper, and then the South Bay. And those are all self-contained comedy scenes. And if you really want to hustle, you can go through all three.
Okay.
And then you can go out to places like Santa Cruz and like Mendocino, which is six hours north, and do these road gigs, which I don't know if there's as much of that around here. I mean... I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I was talking to somebody the other day who he was living in San Francisco. I think he started here, went up to San Francisco, and now he's coming back. And there's actually a place where you have to wait out for like where they give you like a punch card, and you have to get like 50 punches before you even get a spot or something.
If that system has been enacted, it's been enacted since I left. He's probably talking about the Punchline San Francisco.
Okay.
Which the deal with the Punchline used to be when I started, you wait 6 months, and then you get your first spot on a Sunday. And if you do good, they put you up again in a few months, and you keep doing better, you get made a host, and then you get up like every week or so. And you know, or if you're really hot, you just get up like every week. Then when I started, that kept getting extended like 6 months to 9 months to like a year or something like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so you just have to hang out at the back of this club, like, every other Sunday for, like, a year.
Wow.
And then they'd put you up.
How much pressure? I mean, did you do that system?
Yeah.
How much pressure was that first time going up?
It felt so good because I was like, I was still like in my like mid 20s. You know what I mean? I was probably like 25 years old, and I was like, finally, these people are going to see what they've been missing. That was like my thinking. And I had a great set. I was like,
how much time did they give you?
First set's like 5 minutes, and then it's 7 after that.
Okay.
And I mean, that system, it worked when there was only like 30 comics or 30 serious comics in San Francisco. There's got to be like hundreds of people that are seriously trying to do. The back of that room at this point is just like a press. I don't know how the customers get to the bathroom. You know what I mean? It's like a mosh pit in the back. All these hungry comics.
All talking and not paying attention to the show?
They keep it down because they're so afraid of, you know.
Getting banned.
Yeah, exactly. People have gotten banned from there for, like, doing bad stuff.
That's a weird system that they just keep you standing in the back for months on
end. It's notorious. Yeah. There are people like Karen Kilgariff who've quit San Francisco comedy within the first year because of it.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what they do at the store about getting hired. You got to hang out forever, you know. But if you love it,
yeah,
what you gotta do.
Do it for the love.
All right, we'll be back. WSRadio.com, Worldwide Leader in Tech. Bye.
TV Deavers.
Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right. This is one of the weirder shows that we've done so far.
That's actually Petey Deavers singing the Talk to Me.
You do realize that I'm probably going to cut out that start. So all these Petey Deavers things, no one's going to know what the hell we're talking about.
That's okay.
So, whatever. Hey.
Hey.
We're having fun.
It's a good time.
You know? Should make people stand for an hour before we interview them. That's what we're going to do.
Stay in the back of the room.
Yeah.
Wade's been standing in the back of the room for months trying to get on the show.
He wants to get on. He's trying to hook us up with some guests.
There he is.
Wow. We're back, I guess. Third segment already.
Yeah. So
how long did you go to L.A. for this job, or that you just happened to get the job?
I moved there, and I had some money saved up. I stayed with my grandma in her condo. And then,
does she do comedy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she died.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my God.
She died while I was staying with her.
Really? It was your fault?
No, I don't think so.
I
mean, in terms of, I think that she saw me do comedy, and then I think that she felt her life was complete.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
So in that sense,
it's a compliment, really.
Yeah, I think it was my fault.
So you guys both simultaneously said, that's my time. Thanks.
But yeah, I was actually house sitting somewhere, and then my aunt called me up, and she's like, I came by to check on grandma, and she died.
Wow.
But I stayed in the condo for like another 4 or 5 months afterwards, kind of helping my family take care of anything. Also, kind of still just like living off the free rent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally, I ran out of savings. I was getting really desperate, and so I applied for like 3 jobs, and this was one of them. And it just kind of worked
New
out.
New Wave picked it up.
Yeah, I'd done social media for the Punchline in San Francisco.
Okay.
And they wanted somebody who could, they have that comedy wing, and they thought they could do their own social media plus social media for these movies and stuff.
Okay.
And
so you do Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff for New Wave?
I write all that stuff, and then sometimes I'll actually run the posting and things. We're doing a Bill Murray movie right now.
No kidding. What's the Bill Murray movie?
St. Vincent.
Okay. And what's that about?
He's like an old man who shepherds this young boy into becoming a young man. And
is it a comedy?
Yeah, it's kind of a dramedy. He's like grouchy, he's an alcoholic, but you know his like classic manly values went out against the wussiness of contemporary parenting.
Oh.
So there's a lesson to be learned, which is you're better off with an alcoholic chain smoker than you are with any kind of regular parent.
We already knew that.
Yeah, that's a good way to figure it out.
Wow, that's great. Bill Murray's terrific.
So when you first moved to L.A., did you try to not get a job? Was that your goal?
I figured I'd probably have to get something at some point.
Like
but,
to be homeless or something? Is that
No, I mean, you could just do comedy. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I fantasized about that. I didn't figure I was at a point to make that jump. I got a manager after being there not that long. Like, he saw me at an open mic of all places. And then I started submitting a few writing packets through him, and I was like, you know, I'm a great writer. I'm going to get picked up for one of these. I mean, I didn't actually think that, but that was, like, what my heart thought. You know what I mean? Like, my mind was like, Miles, you're not going to get one of these jobs, right? Like, it's too hard. Everyone gets these jobs through connections. This is a formality to hand in one of these packets, right? But in my heart, I was like, they are going to see how amazing the Jeselnik offensive writing team is going to be like, oh, my God, when they see this packet.
Is that what you were trying to write for, something like that?
That was one of the things I submitted for.
Okay, so a lot of roast kind of stuff?
Their thing, it was, you know, because he didn't do, did you see that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is kind of roasty, and it's like shock humor and stuff, and it was a really fun thing to write a packet for, because you really did not, you know, you had to be sort of offensive.
Yeah.
None of those worked out, and then I needed to figure out what I was going to do, and I was like, well, I guess maybe I'll go back to working at a coffee shop. There was like a hipster donut shop that was opening nearby, and I was like, I'm better than that. I feel like I'm better than working.
What makes it a hipster donut shop?
Come on, you know, man, it's like
they all have like handlebar mustaches and
shit. Yeah, exactly. It's like it's everyone who works there is in an indie band. The owner of the donut shop is in a famous indie band. I can't remember which ones, but it's like They Might Be Giants or something.
Uh-huh.
And it just has that like. Everything looks like it was a crappy cartoon drawn by a kid, but no, that's a famous artist, actually. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of a thing. And the donuts are all way too complicated, but they're really good.
All the donuts have kale on them or something?
Yeah, or, like, they're just like, oh, this one, it's an olive oil filling. And you're like, olive oil? Like, and they're really good. You know, yeah.
It's creative donut shop.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, so is your job like a 9-to-5 kind of thing?
Oh, it's a 9-to-7. It's like a 10-hour day at least, which makes comedy a little tougher. But, I mean, there's interesting things. Like, one of the guys who works at the company is Jack Vaughn, who founded Comedy Central Records.
Oh, wow.
And they've got a record label. And, you know, he's, like, asked me before, he's like, hey, would you ever want to, you know, put out a record? And I'm like, I don't have 45 minutes, right? Like, I mean, I know I could get up and do 45 minutes, but I don't know. Who wants to put out a subpar record? I mean... I know some people who put out records in their first year or two of comedy. Blows my mind. Yeah. I don't know why you would do that.
We did that.
Oh, really?
Well, we put out a joint record, like a set of his, a set of mine, and then a set where we did it together.
What do you think of it now?
Well, I've never listened to it. I couldn't bear to listen to it. We were going to do some road stuff and some headlining, and so we made a CD. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, I think we've sold three of them so far.
We didn't push them very hard.
No, the album cover looks cool, but I don't know how the content is. I think it's good.
I think it's fine.
Cool.
But,
I mean, I recorded at Lestat's in the summertime, which you've been to Lestat's.
Oh, yeah.
And it was hot. Like,
yeah.
I was dripping wet, and like people were like, slowly funneling out because it was just too hot in there. But I was able to like play with the audio where I upped some of the laughs and things like that, so it came out good.
Dude, that's like I was talking to a comic the other day. It's like I record all these shows and I'll take the laughs from some shows and put them on my tape
because
I want my tape to like be as sweet as possible.
Yeah.
And I was telling a guy at my work that one of the guys who works in development, and he's like, oh yeah. Everyone should sweeten their tape. Anything you can do.
Well, my thing about it is that they're all jokes that have worked well before. It just didn't happen to work that well that day.
Yeah.
So it's like jokes I believe in, but it's just like you can't when it's 120 degrees.
It was so hot in there. I mean, it was like unbearable.
Yeah, man, I think that's totally fair. I mean, talking to these guys, it sounds like every great comedy record we've ever listened to has been manipulated.
Uh-huh.
Well, one thing about it is a lot of times they'll do four shows and then take the best of each show.
That makes sense.
But I know some people that have gone to Comedy Central tapings of like half hours and a joke has bombed and they'll do the joke again or like bring them back out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy just did the Adam Devine's house party thing.
Oh, cool.
I haven't talked to him about it yet.
Who's this comic?
Dave Thomason.
Okay.
And I haven't talked to him about it yet, but my friend Brendan Lynch also did it, and he said that Dave, like, hummed a bar of something or, like, quoted some song lyrics.
Yeah.
And, you know, they run their sets by these producers, but the producers didn't catch it, and then they have to license the song.
And they had to cut this out.
So, well, no, what they made him do was like come back out and redo the joke without referencing the lines or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's like, according to my other buddy, he did great. It worked out fine, but it sounded like it was really awkward.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you work on that set forever, and you're used to the exact timing of it and everything, so you can see that. I think Billy Bono, he did that.
Yeah.
And he was on, I think his release was like last week or
Mark Saratella, too. Did that come out already?
I don't have cable.
I heard they went well. I haven't seen them, but I heard they went well.
Most of the sets on that show are bad. I feel like anyone who has a good set on that show, it's really impressive.
Oh, really?
I've watched some people on there that I'm like really impressed with as comics.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling.
Why is that, you think? Is it the dynamic of how they put the audience together or what the crowd is like? Isn't it outdoors or?
It's a weird space, it looks like to me. I don't know. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's interesting, too, in terms of people always said Live at Gotham was not a good show compared to Premium Blend. And they blamed it on, like, layout issues and stuff.
Hmm.
But my impression is Gotham Comedy Club is considered a very good comedy club.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you brought up Moshe Kasher earlier. And I listened to some podcasts with him, and he said, like, when he did Live at Gotham, everyone before him kind of bombed, and then he did, like, a really good set and, like, got, like, Montreal and, like, a bunch of stuff just from that. So
maybe it helped to stand out from them that they were, wow, he's the only one that did well. That's why he got the jackpot of it. You mentioned Lestat's earlier. You heard that Christian Spicer stepped out of that?
Oh, I knew about that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. But
he did?
Rajan Darney now took over running it?
Completely?
Right?
Yeah.
That's from what I hear, yeah.
Why would Christian step away from
it? I'm not sure. I think he just did it for a long time.
I mean, he's been doing it for years, you know, and driving down from L.A. every Tuesday for no money. It's got to be kind of annoying after a while.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was a good show, though. I mean, I'm sure it'll continue to be a good show.
Yeah, that is a great show.
No, I just have to hit up Rajan and bug him again. You know, I just forget to even ask about Lestat's. But it's a great show.
So where do you get up in L.A.?
Yeah, what are the rooms that you're doing up there?
I got a show every other Tuesday that I help produce. I have limited involvement with it, but it still gets me up like every other Tuesday.
Mm. Where's that?
Bigfoot Lodge. And I got a show coming up, Put Your Hands Together, UCB Theater, in December 2nd.
That's a big one, right? Citizens.
Yeah, that's their stand-up show. That's a coup. I'm very happy about
that one.
Yep. And then, there's all these little independent shows that are run at places like Echoes Under Sunset and the Silver Lake Lounge and stuff.
There's
like
a lot
that.
Of those shows in L.A., right? That's what I was told. You know, you should hit up those alternate venues.
I think that's a good
shows.
Way to go. You know, the club thing is something I want to get into.
Yeah.
I haven't hit it up really hard yet. That's my next goal.
The Store and Laugh Factory and Improv and all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
we got one more segment.
We only got one more segment. Hopefully we'll be back for the last segment.
Either we'll be back or PD Devers will be here for segment number 4.
Go to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in the talk. Be back at 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we're back. The clock's fucked up.
Oh, we're back quickly.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't know what happened there. So the clock was giving us one thing, and I guess we got her open, but I didn't listen.
I think
so we're going to have to do some editing on this
one. All right, well, if anyone wants to listen to the final copy of this or the PD Devers show, just make sure to tune
in. Just let us know. You know what I'm saying? We need this.
So this segment could be extra long or short. We don't know what's going to happen.
We'll find out.
It's a mystery.
A mystery segment.
No, Miles right now is having a work emergency. And,
he's playing with the dial-up over here, but it's not working out very well for him.
Miles, since he's over there, I was just going to ask him. He writes copy for, ads and Twitter and things like that. I've noticed a lot of people, and this might be a new phenomenon. I don't know if you're not a big Twitter guy, right, Jeff?
No.
But I don't know if you know this. I've seen people copying other people's tweets and then rebroadcasting them as if they're their own, both on Facebook and Twitter. I've seen it multiple times now.
Well, maybe they're copywriters.
Well, I was going to ask Miles that, like, if he gets his stuff ripped off or how that works. But I just think it's so brazen to take something word for word, and they don't change it at all from what I've seen.
Right.
Maybe one word, but for the most part, they don't change it at all. They don't accredit the source, and then they just put it out as under their own name. I just think that's
well. There was a big guy.
Unbelievable.
There's one dude that got a he got a bunch of people that copied it. He had this, some tweet about Julie who didn't want to kiss me at the eighth grade dance.
Yeah.
Now I won't take your Farmville request or something along that line.
Uh-huh.
He got it like so many people just repeated it or changed like one word in it. Or
oh,
something.
Really?
So, but he,
how do you feel proud of yourself when you've ripped off someone else's idea and repackaged it as your own? I mean, it would be one thing to share their tweet or to share their post or to say, this was funny, check this out. But really, to steal it and then put it out as your own and then get all these likes, and does that really make you feel better about yourself that you're...
Well, I mean, I just think that's kind of an old school kind of thing, because I was listening to a podcast today with, who was it with? It was Bud Friedman and some guy, Jay Moore's agent.
Okay.
Barry Katz is his name.
Yeah.
And Barry said when he first started, he just stole someone's material, and then he would say, this is me doing this guy's material. To which one of the MC was like, just steal his material. Don't do it. You know, don't say that
don't
you're...
Don't give him the credit at all.
Right.
Huh.
So, I mean, I think that used to happen a lot more wow. back in the day because there was no policing. There was no YouTube. You couldn't say...
That's what amazes me about people that do it now, because there's times when I read a post and I go, I don't think that person is generally that funny.
Right.
And then I'll copy-paste Google it, and I'm like, that's someone else's fucking tweet.
Right.
You know, that just blows me away that you would do that in the age of technology where you can easily be called out on it.
Yeah.
But maybe most people don't get called out on it. I mean, I'll discover it, and I usually don't call anyone out. But once in a while, I'll do. I'll just put, like, in the comments, like, the person, the actual person who, like, yeah, that was funny when blah, blah, blah wrote it, you know, or whatever.
Right. And but do they say anything?
No.
No.
No, I haven't gotten responses on that at all. I just think that's weird. But
let's start stealing people's tweets just to get under your skin. Nah, it's not worth the effort.
That's one way.
Yeah. Ah, so you just said you're at the Comedy Palace.
The Comedy Palace in beautiful Kearney Mesa tonight, featuring for Andrew Norelli, who was just on Letterman, and he's a very nice, funny guy.
Right.
I got to do a show with him at the Madhouse recently, and I thought he was very gracious, and was really looking forward to it. I'm just a sub. I think someone else canceled, so I got the call late from Zmilla.
Is it a witch
time. It's a witch sub, and get to do that. I've been at the Palace a lot lately. We had last Saturday, we had two benefit shows in a row, one for Rosie, who's
was it like at 2 o'clock? Or
yeah, something? It was a 2 o'clock, and then a 5 o'clock. It was one for Rosie, then it was one for domestic violence, and then I did that Legends. So I had a long, weird time.
Oh, how was your weekend at Legends?
Legends was fun. I did a lot of crowd work and ad-libbing. And that sort of thing. So that was a good time.
It was like 10 to 15 people you
on
done?
The first show, yeah. There was more on the second one.
Well, that's
so, Bijan's there this weekend, so that's cool.
There you go. Well, Miles is back, I think.
Miles, are we all good at New Wave?
No, I keep trying to fix it, and it's just not... It refuses to be fixed. But
if Miles loses his job over this, that'll be a first here at WS Radio that our podcast has caused someone to...
RJ Haynes lost his girlfriend.
Over this podcast?
Well, pretty soon after the podcast.
What happened?
She listened to the podcast, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Is that what happened?
It was that bad?
Well.
So I guess she kept calling him throughout the whole podcast.
And he just ignored her?
Yeah. So.
Is that why he was so distracted? I wasn't here for that one, was I?
No. You missed out.
I decided not to be.
People have told me, yeah, I made it through 47 seconds of that podcast and I had to change
it. Oh, Haynes?
Yeah.
He got a bad Yelp review that was really funny on
I saw it before he posted.
Oh, I thought that was hilarious. He tried to sit, like, three people with someone else. Like, there was one person sitting by themselves, and he tried to seat these people. And they're like, we'd like a table to ourselves. And he's like... He looks at them and gives them this death stare for like 30 seconds. And the lady's like, it's not because the guy's black, okay? I see that you're giving me this death stare like you think I'm racist. It's just weird that you're having us sit with a stranger at the table. Does that beat mean New Wave just imploded?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope so.
Anyway, I don't read Yelp reviews as much as Jeff, but I saw them post that one, and I thought that was pretty hilarious.
You ever had a Yelp review about you?
I don't think so. I used to kind of look for them when I worked as a waiter at Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Oh, yeah, it's a real place? I thought that was just a bit.
Yeah, I thought that was just from...
No, dude, it's a real restaurant. Oh.
Bubblegum Shrimp?
It was my life for like 3 years, yeah.
San Francisco?
Yeah, on the Pier 39, dude.
Wow.
But yeah, I used to look, but no one reviewed me because I was a pretty forgettable waiter.
Is that good or bad?
It is what it is. I wasn't very good at it. It like was really stressed me out to be a waiter.
You even try any material while you're waiting tables, I'm guessing.
No, I just... You know, you've got to be a good waiter. You got to be a good multitasker. You've got to basically have, like, a gambling addiction because that's, like, what the thrill is not knowing how much money you're going to get out of these tables.
A gambling addiction.
That's what I think.
I waited tables a long time. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But that's the deal, that you're banking on the big one, huh?
Yeah, kind
of. You're hoping that, you know. Yeah, aren't you always hoping that you get that one person that's like, I'm secretly a billionaire, and I was so enamored with your service that I gave you the...
10,000?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and the closest I ever got was, like, some Chicano guy who was, like, wanted to be the big man for the night and gave me, like, a $100 tip.
Sweet.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. All I had to do was basically, like, he had to be, like, my boss for, like, an hour. You know what I mean? Like, pull me in close, be like, all right, here's what I want you to do, right? And, like, give me these kind of instructions, like, whispered into my ear and stuff.
Very mafia-esque. Is that a word?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't assume the guy was in organized crime, but it had that feeling, like he wanted to live up to a Goodfellas movie or something.
He did.
Yeah.
That was at the Bubblegum Shrimp restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is that a fancy place?
No.
No, it doesn't sound...
It's overpriced tourist food. It's
okay.
Like, it's a place to take your kids and, like, distract them with light-up classes for an hour while you recover from having dragged your family around San Francisco, you know?
Okay.
Well, we're coming up to the end. These are the standard last two questions. What's the worst show you've ever done?
I did a show in San Francisco where a guy heckled me just by calling me a faggot. Like, you know, it wasn't like, they weren't like real heckles. They were just, he was just like, I'm a drunk, like, former frat boy real estate agent, and now I'm going to ruin
your life. Yeah.
And it was just like if you were in, you know, fifth grade and someone's just like, you're a faggot. And you're like, hey, that's not a very clever thing to say. And like, doesn't matter because you're a faggot, right? Over and over again. And you're like, I can't beat this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so the security doesn't step in or anything?
No, it was a bunch of pussies at this venue. Fucking, my friend Darius got up and schooled this whole group afterwards. I never wished I was like a small, angry black guy so much in my life. He eviscerated them.
Really?
Yeah, but it sucked for me. I was like absolutely humiliated. I wanted to fight them.
Oh, there's more than one person doing that?
Yeah, there was a group of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awful.
One of them paid the host $60 to get up and do a set.
Really? And all he did was call everyone faggots?
No. He just tried to do comedy. He bombed, you know.
What's the best show you've ever done?
I've had some pretty good sets at the Punchline. I got a good tape of me doing this German comic character there. That might be one of the best sets I've ever had.
I love the characters. I haven't seen you in a long time, but those are always so fun.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Are you still doing characters? Because last night you didn't really do any.
No. I haven't been working on that as much. Yeah. That's what a way to end a podcast.
I know. No.
It's been sad.
This podcast has been brought to you by Bubblegum Shrimp and PD Devers.
There's a lot.
Thank you for listening.
We go. This is one of the more interesting
podcasts.
It's
wacky. It's wacky.
So hopefully it was okay for you, Miles.
Yeah, it was great having you, though, Miles.
It was a great time. It's sorry about everything.
Not at all. Miles, check out Miles K. He's hilarious.
WSJ.com. We'll talk with you. Bye.